Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonance Space. Hello and welcome to Resonance Space, and on this episode we are discussing embracing change.
What is change, Jo?
Oh my gosh. Change is a lot of stuff, a lot of things. It's I think when we're talking about embracing change, we are talking about probably some big life changes, maybe.
Mm.
Then it doesn't have to be either. It can be, I think it's any change that unsettles you. So that could be small. It could be just a change in a bus timetable. It means that your whole routine has got to change. Or it could be as big as moving house or having a baby. So there's lots of changes. And it's how we can navigate and embrace them.
So it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing. Change.
Yeah, it always can be a good thing. But I think we focus on the bad changes.
Mm.
And I definitely do. When I think about, like, immediately when we discuss this as a topic, I thought about all the bad changes that have happened to me over the last few years. And I was like, oh, how did I cope? But that, I suppose, because it's more challenging if you're coping with a good change. But like a bad change. But a good change could be moving in with a partner. So that's a good change, but also changes your whole life.
Moving to another country.
So a good thing, but obviously, yeah, navigating a completely different way of life.
So why embrace change rather than, say, deal with it?
Yeah, I think because change is inevitable.
Mm.
That's the one thing we can count on. What do they say? Life, taxes and death.
Yes.
So change is inevitable and it's good, because without change, how dull would life be? But we do resist it because I think we have our survival instinct and the way our brain is kind of wired wants things to stay the same and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So change, the reason change becomes worrying for us, I think, is because it usually takes us out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Because when everything's the same routine, same people, same everything, we're comfortable. We're just gliding and that's all fine. And then when a change comes, it feels different and our nervous system picks up on it, and it's always a little bit, yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. No matter what it is, I think. So it's about how to embrace that, because that is part of life, and we can't, whether a change happens to us or whether we initiate a change, there's nothing we can really do about it. The change is going to happen. So it's more about how we navigate it.
Well, plus, if you embrace the change rather than resist it, you're using far less energy, because when you're resisting something, you're pushing against it.
Mm.
And that in itself can drain you.
Exactly. It's that kind of going with the flow idea of, yeah, not trying to swim against the current and letting it kind of take you where you go. I mean, that's always my sort of motto, is trying to go with the flow. But it's so hard sometimes, because sometimes the flow doesn't feel like where you should be going or where you want to go. And you're like, no, I'm resisting. But actually, yeah, the path of least resistance is usually the easier one.
Well, just think about how much of our lives are just lived on automatic.
Mm. Yeah, there is that.
We look for the path of least resistance as humans anyway.
Yeah.
So we kind of go through life, we don't have to really, quote unquote, pay attention a lot of the times. But when something changes, especially if something really big changes, then everything has to pay attention, our brain, our body, everything.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not used to it sometimes if we're quite happy with our little routines and whatever we do. So yeah, it's always going to be a bit of a challenge, but it's how to make that challenge a positive one rather than resisting. Because usually outside of our comfort zone is where the growth is, and it's where the magic is, and it's where the new experiences are, and all that great stuff that life is all about if we embrace it. That's outside of our comfort zone in everything. Like, even I'm going on my training, I'm doing my new training next month, and that I feel that's really outside of my comfort zone, because I'm going to spend a month away from my home, away from my partner, away from my business, and I'm freaking out. But I know that it's going to be a positive growth, so I'm kind of trying not to freak out.
Well, plus it's something that you chose to do.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that that was the right thing for me, but still the resistance is there.
Mm.
Still the fear, because it builds fear, I think, once you resist the change. So then you go, oh, what if I can't? What if, you know, what if? And the brain, as it does, as it's programmed to do, comes up with every negative thing that might happen, and then, but that's trying to keep you in the comfort zone, like, oh, you shouldn't go, you mm-hmm. should, don't do it, just stay where you are, it's safer, nothing's gonna happen.
You don't really want to do this, do you?
Exactly. That's the little niggly at the back, and that's, you know, I'm, that can be in every situation, like mm. you know, new job, whatever, like, are you sure you want to do this? Everyone's gonna hate you, you're not gonna be good, everyone's gonna find out you're an imposter, you know, those little niggly thoughts that always come in.
Thought, I call them thought demons.
Yes, that's a good term, thought demons. And they're trying to keep you exactly where you are, because it's safe.
Which actually makes them really your friend.
Yeah, it's always help. They're always trying to help. Mm. That's the thing with our, you know, with our sort of shadows and the negative self-speak. It's just a twisted way of trying to help, isn't it? It's kind of, it's got a bit lost along the way. So it sounds really negative in our minds, like, oh, you're not good enough. But what it's trying to do is keep us in a place where we're just comfortable and safe,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it thinks is best for us. So if we listen to that, sometimes we will never change anything. You know, maybe you know that you need a new job or you want to move to a new country. But if we listen to those voices, we probably wouldn't ever do anything.
Mm.
So embracing change is kind of about listening to that, going, I know you're here to keep me safe, but I'm doing this anyway.
I call that making friends with your shadow side.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the ways to kind of, I think that's a change that you're making consciously. That's one of the aspects. Because obviously the other aspect is the change that happens to you and you have no control over it.
Mm.
So that's the ones that come to mind when I think about embracing change. Yeah, over probably the last few years, I've had quite a lot of changes that I didn't necessarily ask for. Some that I did, some that I didn't. For example, when I was made redundant from my job, things like that. And like, I lost both my parents, and you know, there was a period of my life about within a year where I had every single part of my life changed. Mm. So my home, my job, my family, all without my control. And that was really tough. And when I think about how I embraced that change, that took a long time because I didn't want to embrace any of it. How I navigated that change was kind of sitting with it a little bit, because all of this stuff, I mean, I remember having sort of tarot readings around that time, and the Tower kept coming out, because that's that card of absolute, you know, the change happening to you, but, and there's nothing you can do about it. Your world, your life is going to change unrecognizably, but there's positives in it. And you can't see them at the time. I think when the changes are so brutal and so quick, you can't see them because you're in shock and you do not want them to happen. Absolutely. So there's no kind of, you can't see any positives. So I was trying to find, I guess, a lot of ways to find, not the positives, but find a way to be comfortable with it.
Mm.
So I remember finding a grief meditation after my parents, which was really amazing because it made me sit with every single emotion that I had around the loss.
Was that hard for you to do, is go into that grief meditation?
It was horrendous. So I made myself do it every day. It was awful. I didn't want to face any of it. I was angry. But there was so you had to name every emotion and kind of sit with it. So it is sadness, anger, rage, you know, all of them that come up. And there's actually way more than you think. When you keep sitting with the emotions, there's there's so many that you that I can't probably name them right now because they would just come up as I.
Could you name? Could you give them like another name, like Mr. Annoying or Steve?
Yeah, what's that one? Yeah, like just confusion and frustration. Like it was kind of like just sitting with it, and that really helped because they're all there, all these emotions around that change. But if you try and ignore them and just carry on and just get on with stuff, it's not, you're not embrace. I don't know if I ever will embrace. Embracing is kind of a strong word when it talks to like the loss of your parents. I don't know if I'll ever embrace that, but I can now see the other side, if you see what I mean. But yeah, and I think there was other things, like I remember some really amazing books that I read around, what was one called, like Living Mindfully with Change or Living Quietly with Change or something like that. But that was a real sort of eye-opener as well. And it was what I realised when I was reading it is it was kind of the yoga philosophy. It was exactly the yoga philosophy, but put in layman's terms.
Right.
So it was about sort of being kind to yourself and, yeah, it was really interesting. I was just like, okay. So yeah, I really kind of tried to find ways of just accepting it, I suppose. That's it, is acceptance. Not embrace it for that one, because it was such a an awful change. It was about accepting it rather than embracing it.
Plus, what other choice do you have?
Well, exactly. You have no choice. And I think that was one of the major learnings was this happens, this will happen to everyone in a different way, in a different guise. I also went to a grief retreat, which was amazing.
That sounds horrible.
It was challenging, but it was a day of, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was so cathartic and releasing. And it was just like, I felt like I had to do it. And one of the major sort of messages which really stuck with me was everything you love, you will lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, shut up. no, that's not true. But it is. It's like you have to accept that either you will lose them in your lifetime or you will die and you will lose everything at some point. So, everything you love, you will lose. So this kind of absolute kind of fascination we have with holding on to everything and not letting anything go.
Attachment.
Yeah, exactly. Which is obviously, again, one of the limbs of yoga is attachment and that sort of thing. So it all kind of came back and I was just like, but it was a bit of light bulb moments because I was like, oh yeah. Because if you really, it's not yours to control. It's not yours to hold on to. And it's the same with everything. So when I, had to move from London from my flat that I designed and almost built myself, but I couldn't afford it anymore because I had no job and all this thing, and I was like, I don't want to leave it. And then I was just like, in the end I realized that it's just bricks, but because the attachment I had to it was so emotional, I was just like, I can't possibly let it go. And it took me a long time to release that attachment, and now I'm just like, oh.
So it wasn't necessarily the physical place, it was the how you feel about that place.
For that, for my flat, it was definitely it was the fact that the blood, sweat and tears that went into it, and the fact it was mine. And I think at one point it was the only thing I had, so I was just like, I have to keep this is the only thing I have. It was my sort of safety, security. And then when I had to let that go, I was like, well, bloody hell, like, I just have to go with that. It was really going with the flow then. I was like, I don't know where I'm gonna live, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, what my life is going to look like. And I just had to let go.
Do you think that was also, you were changing your identity as well as changing where you live?
Yeah, it was everything. It was every single part of my life, which is why whenever, like I said, it always reminds me of the tarot card. Because whenever I had a tarot reading, they have these cards and they were like, wow, you've got some major changes. And I was like, yep, let me tell you about it. And they just go, wow. But it's that you have to let go. I had to let go. So having lived a life of anxiety, which is all around keeping things exactly how they need to be, and attachment and control, I had to. I almost like got rid of the anxiety, weirdly, because I had I didn't have anything to be anxious about. I had nothing. There was nothing left. I was just like, there's no point in being anxious because I'm on free fall. I think anything could happen right now. So it was quite liberating in a way, but that was kind of the lesson. And I think that's why I am so obsessed with like the moon and that kind of letting go around the full moon and like monthly kind of checking in and going, what don't I need? What needs to just go? Because now I know that there's no point holding on to this stuff.
Well, plus it's cyclical, like life is anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're born, we die, all that stuff in between. But it is, it's the cycle of life. So there's nothing we can really do about it.
Well, when I first moved here, I think the first 2-3 years I was here, I thought I was losing my mind.
Right.
I thought I was literally falling into tiny little pieces.
Right. Well, because you'd made a mistake or?
It wasn't that. It was just everything is just so different.
Right.
You know, I no longer working as a pharmacist. I'm not surrounded by family and friends. I'm not even driving. You know, the money's different. Everything's different.
Mm.
The words are different,
yeah.
Even though it's still quote unquote English. It was all so dramatic.
Yeah.
That I at first just wasn't dealing with it very well at all.
Yeah, because it's everything. It's your identity shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your surroundings, everything you're familiar with is gone.
So I had to come to a point where I said, well, okay, I've got two choices. No, three. I can either say, the heck with this, I'm going back. I can carry on feeling horrible, or I can make the absolute best of what I have, which is fortunately what I did. And now I wouldn't change anything. It's made me who I am today.
Mm.
But it was not easy. No. Embracing change is not easy.
No. And a lot of people would have gone home, right? They would have gone, I miss my family. This is not what I thought it was going to be. I'm out of here.
Well, also, depending on your personality, like the way my personality is I can't just give up. Because then I would regret it for the rest of my life. And sometimes that was the only thing kind of keeping me going is that determination to not just say, oh, this is hard. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. And did you have a kind of trust that it would turn out okay? Or did you have no idea and you thought, I'm just going to keep going?
Well, I've always, throughout my whole life, I always knew inherently that everything would eventually turn out to be okay, regardless of how difficult it was or how horrible I might feel at the time. Doesn't make it any easier going through the experience, but it's certainly so much better than quitting or carrying on trying to resist it.
Mm. Exactly. And I think there's always lessons to be learned as well, isn't there, along the way, of yourself, but also, yeah, of how you know, I suppose, yeah, how you navigate change. You kind of learn a bit about yourself as well, don't you?
Absolutely. And then it also, in return, it changes who you are.
Mm.
And fortunately for me, it was so much for the better.
Mm.
It put me on the path where I am now.
Exactly, because without that experience and staying where you were and not moving and not changing and growing, you probably, yeah, you wouldn't be where you are now because you wouldn't have embraced that new experience.
I don't actually think about what if I never did it because there's no point.
Mm.
Like, why? Why go there in your head?
Mm.
You can't do it anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah, totally.
So what about things like personal physical changes we talked about earlier? Things like menopause.
Oh, God. Yes, that you have no control over.
And any men that are listening, sorry.
Well, no, I think it's really important for men to understand it because half the population will go through this at some stage in their life. I'm sure they'll come across women that are going to change without any sort of expectation.
And it's whether we resist it or not.
I'm resisting it.
You can't. I've tried ignoring it. I've tried being in complete denial, and it doesn't work.
No. It's really interesting, actually, because we're recording this on World Menopause Day on the 18th of October, and I've kind of splashed it all over my social media because I think it's so important because this change is coming for all of us, all women. Obviously, I'm now just referring to women. And it's really about awareness, I think, with this one, because if it can just hit you like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I started getting a few changes in my body, in my cycle and that sort of thing. And I was just like, what is happening? And not that I'm a control freak, but I want to know what's going on. So I sort of picked up a book that I found really helpful. And I was just like, what? And what I learn about myself as a woman is something that I should have learned in my teens. You know, I picked it up at 42, let's say. And I should have known about that when I was, you know, just starting it when I was 16. I should have known about these things. I was like, oh, that's why that happens. Oh, that's why that happens. And I was just like, oh my God. How did I not know this about my own body?
Well, that's because the hormone changes. So the hormones that we have, it changes everything in your body, including your brain, the way you think. Mm. Your sense of taste can change. Sense of smell can change. The things you like to eat. Like for me, the hardest things for me to deal with is there's two things in my life I have never had a problem with.
Mm.
Sleeping and eating. But over the last couple of years, two of my biggest issues are not getting enough sleep and having real problems eating, which is still weird.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing I suppose with this change is it's so different for everyone. I think that's the thing for everyone to know, because if we all just went for exactly the same process, you'd go, oh, this is this. You know, it'd be really sort of understood. But because there's something like 108 symptoms, maybe more, I can't remember. It's so different for every person. And it's almost like this, the process of that sort of 10 years pre the actual menopause, perimenopause, everyone's journey is so crazily different and erratic. Whenever I speak to my friends now, I'm like, oh, this is happening. And they're like, well, this is happening to me. And I'm like, oh God, you know, it's like everything's madness. And so then I kind of think, how do you embrace that? I don't know how to embrace this because it's so unpredictable. That's my problem.
So I actually had a bit of an amazing realization earlier in the week. My insomnia was really bad. I mean, every night I would fall asleep fine, wake up at, say, midnight, 1 o'clock, and not be able to get back to sleep, sometimes for hours, sometimes not at all.
Mm.
And it would stress me out, and then it made going to bed stressful, and I thought, this is stupid. I can't be resisting this. I got to find a way to embrace it. So I decided, fine, I'm just going to make the best of situations. So if I can't sleep, rather than lying there being annoyed that I can't sleep, I will get up and go do something. I'll do something, you know, kind of routine, things you don't have to think, and keep the lights really, really low as well. You know, you can listen to an audiobook. You can read. There's lots of things that you can do with this quote-unquote extra time you're being given. Either you find a way to make it work for you, even though I know I'm going to be absolutely exhausted the next day. It doesn't matter. So I really discovered in doing that, and it was literally this week, I didn't feel as exhausted, and it wasn't as crippling. It wasn't crippling. It was just like, oh yeah, I'm tired. But then you just get on with it. That's a very English thing to do, isn't it?
Well, you say that, but we also complain a lot. We'll moan all day that we're tired. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that's one. Yeah, the sleep thing. And then, because I teach yoga, and my biggest problem is my joints. My joints have gone. Like, my wrists are awful, my knees are awful, and I can't really see many reasons for it, because I think when I was younger, if I pick something heavy up, I'd be like, oh, that's what I did. Whereas this is just like, nope, my wrist is gone, my knee's gone, no. And because I teach a physical activity, that's really affected my confidence and affected what I think my ability is. And I know if I step back out of that, out of the sort of, you know, judging myself, I know that I can still teach without having to have the perfect everything. But it's a change that's happened because I started my sort of teaching journey so late on. I started thinking, oh, here we go. And then really suddenly within that, it's changed completely. And I've got to navigate that somehow. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm doing this next training, because it's about the feminine aspect of sort of yoga and shamanism. And I think I need to kind of move into that rather than the sort of masculine side, where it's like, oh, you must be strong and you must be able to do handstands and this, because my body just isn't going to ever be able to do that. So I knew it never would anyway, because I had like a back operation many years, about 10-ish years ago. So I knew I was never going to be that type of teacher. But now having to go, right, I'm not even... So I'm not that type of teacher. I'm not the very masculine, you know, oh, look at me, I look amazing. But now I'm not even that kind of middle where I thought I was when I started. So I'm like, right, what is this going to look like now? And it's kind of hard. It's hard to embrace it. So that's why I think I've sort of immersed myself into something where I'm like, right, I need to really understand this change, how it's affecting my body, my teaching, and what I can actually sort of almost give back out of that.
So it's again, an identity shift, really.
Yeah, it is completely. Because I'm now, yeah, you know, everything I do now is through a different lens.
Mm.
Because it has to be, because that's my life now, isn't it? And it's only going to get different. I don't want to say worse, because that sounds very negative. But it's only going to change more, isn't it? It's only going to keep changing throughout the rest of my life. So I'm just like, I have to be able to move with this and allow myself to kind of teach in a different way, practice in a different way. Like, my energy levels are so low. I've almost, shouldn't really admit this, but I've almost like stopped my own practice completely, because I'm just like, I don't have the energy to be a teacher, run a business, do all this stuff. And I don't have the energy to do it all. So, you know, what goes is my personal practice. And that really upsets me, because that's kind of what I started out with. Yeah. So now I've lost that, and I'm like, whoa, I need to find a way to either bring that back in, or, yeah, I don't know, like, sort of how do I navigate that side of it so that it all fits together?
So it just kind of metamorphosizes into one thing, kind of form, go, like, reforms into another thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be you stop doing A so you can do B. It can flow into each
other.
Exactly.
What does it look like now is what I need to kind of get my head around.
Mm.
And I think that's why I'm literally going away for a month to do that, because I don't think I can do it in the busyness and the noise at the moment. And yeah, it's really hard going through this. And I think everyone needs to kind of realize that, because everyone, you know, we all have different lives, different careers. And there are some people in very busy jobs with big family, you know, you've had your children, and you're navigating this change in a very busy lifestyle, and you're going to be absolutely exhausted. You're not really going to have the time to meditate and do, you know, all these things that luckily I can do. You know, fortunately, I'm able to do this. And so you need to know that this is a challenging time. And so and I imagine a lot of people listening to this would go, embracing menopause? Are you joking me? Like... how am I embracing it? It's ruining my life.
Yeah, but what other choice do we have?
We don't.
I mean, yeah, okay. You can go on hormone replacement therapy. There's tons of things you can do. I mean, I have been mitigating my own symptoms using the plant medicine myself. But doesn't matter. Still going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's that, isn't it? It's that sort of awareness that there's so many different symptoms and. Yeah, like you say, finding a way to make it not work for you, because, but make it less troublesome, I guess.
Because if you say, oh my God, I'm not going to sleep, like, just an example, it makes it so much worse. I'm sure everyone listening to this has had some experience with temporary insomnia, and it can be cause a lot of anxiety, just because you think, oh, am I going to sleep tonight? Mm. No, oh, I've got this thing to do tomorrow, and then what if I don't? And,
gets worse.
Yeah, if I do that, then I'm just wrecked. So my actual decision to say, right, I'm going to take advantage of this quote-unquote extra time and find a way to use it. And it just makes dealing with the actual physical and mental blowback from not being able to sleep so much easier.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes asking for help as well, because I'm thinking about my... with my wrists and stuff, like, it really makes me anxious if I have to carry anything heavy, because I'm like, what if I injure myself? What if I can't teach? So just kind of saying, look, I can't do something. Like, admitting that you can't do something is okay too.
It's also hard to do. I understand that completely. It's also hard to do,
especially when you're really independent. You're like, nope, I can do this. I can carry. But actually, you have to accept that your body is changing, and you might not be as strong as you were, and things that you used to be able to do, like, maybe you had a crazy gym regime every morning, and you were like, this is me, this is my regime. You get up at 5 a.m. before you go to work, and suddenly you're not sleeping, and you don't have the energy. And if you do that, that's you wiped out for the rest of the day, and you start feeling sick because your hormones actually move all over the place, which we know about, and suddenly it doesn't work for you. And but because that's your routine and maybe part of your identity, it's really hard to let it go.
Oh, absolutely. I've been weight training since I was very young. And I noticed over the past few years, I used to love lifting heavy.
Right.
I loved it. It's like, because it's me versus me, you know. Let's see if I can break my own personal record and, you know, getting myself to do that. And I realized over time, I can't. Mm. I can't do that, at least not regularly anymore. I had to completely change the way I approach my weight training. Mm. And that was, again, it was like an identity almost
it is.
Thing.
Yeah. So it's really hard to shake it, and it's hard to accept it. So I think for me, the embracing is amazing if you can, but the first step is accepting.
Mm.
Because if you don't accept it, you're never even going to get close to embracing it. And some things, when I think about changes, I'm never going to embrace. Acceptance is the most I'm going to get to.
That's okay. Accepting that's is fine. Okay.
But that's okay. It's better than resisting. So you have to move out of the resistance phase. And in your own time also, because sometimes it's not easy.
One thing you can do is do an experiment on yourself, which I experiment on myself every single day. Do an experiment is whatever change you're resisting, give yourself like a day, 24 hours, and say, okay, for 24 hours, I'm not going to push against this. And really, you know, just do that as like a self challenge. See if it works for you.
Mm.
And then you can go right back to resisting it the next day. It's still there.
Yeah. But how did you feel in those 24 hours versus resisting?
And was it as hard as you thought it was going to be?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that is a good idea. I'm trying to think what I can do that with. I'm like, ooh. What can I do that with?
Well, it's one easier way to embrace change in yourself is make small personal change and then experiment with different things. You don't have to decide on this is the way I'm going to embrace it. Try different things, even if it sounds really stupid or silly or ridiculous. If it works for you, then it's for you.
Yeah. And I think it's also just about knowing that nothing is ever the same.
No.
Changes are inevitable. So, yeah, so how do you want to navigate them? How do you want to keep, you know, coming up against them?
Even things like chronic illness or things like that, death in the family, the things that really are horrible. If you don't find a way to just allow it and, like you said, accept it, it makes life just so hard.
Mm. Yeah, it's like double poison, because you have to deal with the awful situation, but then you're also making yourself feel worse on top of it. So it's like a double whammy. So it's that you need to kind of try to avoid, ideally.
Be nice to yourself.
Yeah.
Remember that. We are all going through our own changes regardless of who you are, how old you are, you know, you're a man, you're a woman, anything. If you just find a way to be kind to yourself, accept that, yeah, this is happening. Yep, I feel horrible, but wait, of course I feel horrible. Why wouldn't I feel horrible? As a matter of fact, if I didn't feel horrible, that would be really weird. And you just kind of think about that, and accepting the way you feel at least is an easier and far more peaceful way than trying to deny it or fight against it. So it's just self-kindness. I know it sounds really kind of woo, but honestly, it does work.
This has been Jo.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can email us on info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. Just if you have any questions or any topics you'd like us to tackle, or even if you think you've got an interesting subject and you'd like to be on the podcast.
Ooh.